Welcome, welcome. So this is hour two of T-Touch for You Decoded, Cellular Wisdom Decoded. Evidently my brain hasn't fully come back from our journey with the lungs. So I'll hand it over to you, Eleanor.
Actually, I'd like to make the introduction to Eleanor first. And as I think all of you know, Eleanor went through the experience of the COVID-19. And what she is experiencing now is what is being referred to in the U.S. I don't know if this is true in the rest of the countries, referring to the long haulers, that is people who have experienced the COVID-19 and continue to have many different effects that keep coming back to them. Not everybody, but many. And it's not been recorded. And because in the United States, people were told, when you get sick, don't call your doctor until you're really sick. So there's much that wasn't known about it. And it's just now being realized what happens after. And Eleanor has been having these effects. And one of the beauties of having us be together in this way is to experience what can we do with T-Touch as we start to have these various expressions. So Eleanor, I'm so excited because as I said in our meetings last week, I said, I want to see the diaphragm. I want to understand this diaphragm that's working within the ribs. So Eleanor.
Thank you. Go. And, you know, it's so funny because when we're talking, I mean, how many of you here just assume the diaphragm is this muscle that just goes across like this? You know, I mean, it's when we're taught anatomy we see it in a picture on the screen or in a book, it's so two-dimension. And everything about us is 3D. If it could be 4D and 5D, it's that. And so when Sandy was describing it as a dome, certainly she meant it's dome in all directions. And so if you looked at me, you would say, oh, well, she means it's a dome going across the top, meaning the bottom part of the ribs from side to side, but it's also a dome that goes from the front to the back. Right? So it's domed like this. And actually in the world of biotensegrity, this Buckminster Fuller ability of tensions and releases, it's perfectly dome shaped to support itself. And in the support, how many of you have ever seen like a geodesic dome? You know, the geodesic domes, they support themselves up. So the diaphragm, I believe, is in that name also. It supports itself up, and the organs is down below, and then we have vital organs up above. But as we know, everything in our body does more than one job. They all multitask. So we know how I'm always coming in and talking about the vagus nerve system and the vagal branches and the different branches and where they travel. Well, here's the thing. They're richly, richly innervated into the diaphragm. Richly innervated into the diaphragm.
So can we pull it up? Can we pull it up so we can see, please?
Of the vagus nerve?
Yes, and the diaphragm, the pictures that we have.
I have it if you want.
Oh, please. Yes, because I would have to look for it.
Just give me one
second. We have it.
Hang on.
I'm sorry for those on the phone.
It's worth seeing. Okay, so look here. Because she's sharing it, so I don't think my cursor is showing. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so drop your cursor, Sandy. Okay, keep going down, keep going down. And now go over to the left. See that whole branching all the way across? All the way to the left. That's your diaphragm, all the way across. So you see how richly, a little bit, some of it over to the left is going over to the pancreas and the spleen. But if you look at this part all the way, no, not that, just that part. Yep, just mm-hmm. that with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All of that is richly innervated into the diaphragm.
Wow.
Really richly. Okay, so now let's come back to our main screen. So, and of course, that's a beautiful, well-known picture, but it's very flat and 2D. So mm-hmm. know that it's richly innervated throughout the whole diaphragm.
Can we see the diaphragm, please?
Let's go to the diaphragm.
Oops, hang on.
This just made such a difference to me when we spend a long time looking at this, because feeling what's inside, connecting with T-Touch with it. Okay. Because, and that's what, and Eleanor, next after we do this, I really love you to start with what you were feeling.
Okay. Okay. So look here.
After.
Look here at this diaphragm that you'll see how Sandy's running the cursor around it. And of course, nothing just is where the way you think it is. Thank you, Sandy. Look at where this is connecting. It connects to some of our lumbar vertebrae. And you know how Linda talks about, we don't just breathe in the chest, but we breathe with our belly. We breathe in our front and we breathe in our back. So if you think about the lumbar vertebrae, those two huge muscles that go down and they connect to not just one area, but a couple of areas down along the lumbar vertebrae. So when we fill our belly breathing, there's a little bit of movement that happens along the back. Do you see? It's not an arch like this, but there's a breathing that happens along the back.
Can you show that again, Eleanor? Because I had the diaphragm up instead of you.
Okay, so when we look at our breathing, let me get my chair out of the way. When we look at our breathing, look, can you see? And there's movement that happens in our back. And so what happens when people in society are taught to hold in their gut, they're holding back here along the back of the back. When that doesn't have freedom of movement in the low back, then those muscles that hold the diaphragm are, I don't want to say locked in, and I don't want to say overstabilized, but they're not getting their full potential by any mean. They're having
inhibited. Inhibited.
There is a Eleanor. Great source of inhibition. Thank you.
Right. And I'd like to just take a moment here and ask Francoise and Glenn, because of the pain in the lumbar region, and also Francoise with the breathing opportunities. I was going to say challenges, opportunities for you to find simple ways, because for those that not all of you realize that there's an issue with emphysema, not being able to get as much air in those lungs. And also, I'd like to point this out, and I'm going to come back to it later, Eleanor. When we wear a mask all the time as having to work to be in the classroom, Denise, for when you were more Jean, wearing it all day inside. I'd like after this, Eleanor, to talk about what we can do with awareness, with consciousness, to move that mask up and to really engage and connect with that divine spark in every cell, in all these areas that Ellen is bringing to our awareness in a whole new way. I'm so excited about this, Eleanor.
Yeah, I have it in my notes for but I almost would like, if it's okay with you, I'd like to sidetrack and go to it right now then. If that's okay with you, Linda, or would you like me
follow
to wait?
Follow the intuition.
Okay. So that belly, I don't want to say the belly breathing, because the thing is that people overemphasize techniques and one way over another. We want to consider that when we breathe naturally, like a baby, if you've ever seen a puppy or a kitten or a baby breathing, with each breath, even their head comes up and down. The whole body breathes everywhere. So the best, easiest, lovely description I can think of is if you have a ball. The ball is in a shape of a sphere. When the air goes out of the ball, it goes out of the whole ball of the sphere. And when air gets pumped into the ball, the whole sphere, spherically fills, not just a part. That's us. And that, to me, is back into the cells. Cells, not a part of the cell, but within the whole cell. There is this type of respiration. In our lungs, the respiration is breath and inhalation of oxygen and exhalation of carbon dioxide plus a couple of other things. And in the cells, that respiration is the bringing in nutrients and cleaning up the byproduct going out. So everything about us is this full-bodied source of respiration.
And Eleanor, I want to just emphasize that again. I love this, what you're doing with the opening of the hand and then the closing. And one of the questions in the chat before was, why do I breathe out through pursed lips?
Yeah.
Because I have this feeling, and I have to say about the belly breathing, for me, I love the ball breathing. It's helpful, but the reason that I related to the belly breathing, belly back breathing, was because I have discovered, just from what we've been doing in the last little while with the breathing, with these speech exercises, that I am only allowing my expansion of my ball to a limited degree because of what my whole life I've been practicing holding in my stomach.
From society.
And I realize that means what?
From society.
Well, from what else? Yes. But I mean, I've been practicing. Now I have to practice. I love your ball. And so the out breath, I fill the ball or whatever you want to call it. I've been relating to the lung balloons, the alveoli that make up the lung stuff, but breathing and then the out breath. And if you have difficulty with the out breath, which some of you may have, do less. Sorry, I just wanted to pop this in because I love this image, Eleanor, that you're just feeling that.
And it is amazing to do this simple if you feel like you have a backache in any way, shape, or form. I always had back issues because I had a suede back as a kid and was super athletic and doing everything on a suede back, and then had a pretty big injury twice. And so it's just simply that. You know, we don't come through the world unscathed. It's what are the tools that we have that allows us to have this amazing ability to come back and maybe even better. than before. And Linda's right. I mean, in society, there are these pressures for holding in the belly. But people who have studied martial arts know that the energy in the force comes, and they'll call it the chi. Others call it the, there's different names.
Hara.
Hara. And there's even another name that I've heard of, but it's ha, ha. And Moshe Feldenkrais taught us, because he talked about how much people hold their belly and the issues that of that translating into other parts. So this is so beautiful. And we can take actually the circle and a quarter touches and go all the way around lightly and gently all around the belly, and especially around the lower parts, to remind us that we can be soft there, that our breath can be all the way to the bottom of our belly and into our back. And I'd like to answer the person who asked, why do we breathe in through the nose and out through pursed lips? The pursed lips is beautiful. What a treat, because it creates a gentle back pressure into the diaphragm. So try it right here. Do it a few times, and I'll talk as you're doing it. So you just take your time to inhale through your nose and out through pursed lips. And as you're going out through pursed lips, can you feel an additional back pressure? Yeah, I see Teresa nodding her head. So it's like a little bit of a back pressure into the lungs. Now, the thing that's so lovely, that what you're doing is you're actually stimulating many systems, but you're stimulating the vagus nerve branches there in the diaphragm and that beautiful three-dimensional dome. And when you stimulate that, it goes back to what Sandy was saying earlier. That communicates to the lungs and the heart.
And Eleanor, I'd like you to address this for the whole group, and that is from Peter, asks, is this also where the psoas connects to the diaphragm? So we had this big discussion of the psoas, and I think this is really important for Glenn, for myself with the lumbar issues, and for everybody. So it just gives us another connection to the expansion possibilities.
Absolutely. And if I may say, if I had some parts that were my favorite parts, I could talk for days about what the psoas does and its connection to all our parts. Okay. So the psoas starts at the 12th thoracic vertebrae. So in other words, you've got the neck vertebrae, which are called cervical vertebrae, and then you have the thoracic vertebrae, where all the ribs connect to. So the 12th, number 12, which is where the bottom ribs connect to, I mean, where the bottom last rib, that's the beginning of where the psoas muscle connects to. And then it connects on the right side and the left side. And each psoas is as thick. Put your hands up as a soft fist. Look at the size of your soft fist. That's the thickness. That's the size. Wow. That's the size, thickness of the psoas. And it connects to almost every vertebrae going down, all lumbar vertebrae. And then it branches out, goes across the diagonal, like from the center line to the connect to the right leg, the center line branching all the way down and connects to the left leg. It's the only thing that connects your legs to your body.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. It's the only thing.
That's pretty dramatic. And hey, Glenn, that's kind of interesting for us, isn't it? Because I feel when I my attempted backflip into the pool, which is a made-up story, but that's what happened. I landed, and I mean, it's really interesting. Valentina, thank you for the coaching you gave me on the SOAS. This is really helpful, Eleanor, to see it in the way you're the way you're demonstrating on the body. And then what I know we'll get to it, what we can do just with the back of the hand to connect with that and address that. But can I read what Sandy just Googled?
Know that it's the back of the hand and the front. So if I were to talk to my psoas, I would go here, but I would really connect to my psoas through the front, even though it's deep inside.
Describe where here is for those.
So if I were to want to make contact to my psoas, I would less likely put the back of my hand along my backside. I might just for communication purposes, but I would put it on the front side of my belly and imagine that my hand connects all the way deep into the psoas. And the reason why is because, here we go again, the vagus nerve branches are winding through the psoas. They're not along the outside, they're inside winding through the psoas. So if we have anxiety and or something with the vagus branches, they can activate the psoas. Do you see what I'm saying? The psoas can get activated because those nerve branches got activated. Oh, and then they end up arching the back, pulling the back, shortening a leg. So we can approach through T-touch, working along the area that we envision that the psoas goes to, and touch even along the top here of the thigh where it connects to, and you will feel your breath change. Does that make sense?
It's really interesting. The reason that I suggested the back of my hand there and the same thing to Glenn, because he has fractured lumbar one and three and four, I think, and I fractured one and five, lumbar one and five. And so when I reach back like this and I feel my breath come in there, and then I connect with the psoas from the inside, which I can do with laser, I can get to those parts. And this is just so helpful to have you, demonstrate this in this way. And I'd just like to read this from the chat in response to Peter's question. Sandy said she Googled this. With each breath, the psoas and the diaphragm work together to provide anterior spinal stability, which is interesting for our fractures. And the diaphragm enhances the psoas, react to fear and to stress with constriction. So
Because of the vagus nerves, the muscles themselves don't react to the fear and concern. The vagus system reacts to fear and concern, and it's branched within the psoas and it's branched in the diaphragmatic muscles, so, and tendinous tissue. So when the vagus system gets activated when we get stressed, the vagus system gets activated, which then activates those muscles more than they needed to have, which causes the vertebrae to pull forward, etc.
Okay, so can you lead us to what the long hauler effect, the after effect of the COVID you were having, and how you've been dealing with that with T-touch, and lead us all through that now that we have another connection to the diaphragm, this whole, I like to call it the pelvic cradle. It's like a cradle for all these amazing parts. Could you, because I loved how you were talking about when you couldn't breathe, first of all, when you had the COVID, and what you did with T-Touch, and now what you're specifically doing and where you're sending that connection, so that we can use it, even though you may not and hopefully don't ever get COVID, we can use this in relationship to having to wear the masks all the time if you're at work or in or kids in school. How do we breathe with that? And I know you're going to bring that in, Eleanor, right?
Yes, thank you. If I forget, please remind me on that. So earlier last week, like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was lying in bed and back to the holy moly. First, I noticed, what the heck, how shallow was my breathing? So shallow. And I laid there with it for a moment and then realized, oh, because I'm naturally not breathing in normally, a normal breath, just normal breathing that was my normal breathing as I lie in bed at night. And then I realized, oh, darn, I'm back to having to think about breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Oh no, that's like when I had COVID, where I had to intentionally take into consideration inhaling because my body naturally exhaled. But the thing about COVID is it doesn't naturally inhale because these neurotransmitters are interfered with. And so the inhalation doesn't happen. And so people get scared and panic and the breath becomes shallower. And so I'm like, okay, I got it. So I thought about it. I was under incredible stress and angst because my mother had not been well and trying to problem solve and be there in the moment. So I thought, oh, it's that. And I go, I've been under stress before and that didn't affect my breathing so much. So then I'm thinking in my mind, a little like what Linda said, you know, she calls it the long hauler thing. And I thought, go figure, my body didn't forget about that. It re-remembered and went back to remembering that it's still there, meaning the if there's stress, my body went back to what they're calling the long hauler, meaning the breath was so terribly shallow. And I had to add a long hauler, like running the long haul, L-O-N-G. And then hauler, H-A-U-L-E-R. It's like the long haul, hauling something with you. You're carrying it along with you for the long time after that. I think that's what that means. And I asked myself, I'm so tired. I really just want to go to sleep. And another part of me said, you want to sleep barely breathing? How's the rest of you going to feel about that by tomorrow morning? It's going to be pretty, pretty tired. Not to mention, I need my brain. So I went, I'm so tired, but okay, I'll do this. So I gave myself just literally a couple of heart hugs.
Let's do that now, Eleanor. Let's do that.
Coming back to my favorite. My favorite. It'll be the thing I do on my last day on this earth is giving myself that heart hug and just 6 o'clock below, 12 o'clock above, and the hands on your heart, on your sternum, on your chest, and just gliding that skin around the clock, a full circle, going past 6 o'clock and going to the quarter mark. Inhaling through the nose and just letting it out easily through pursed lips. Oh, what a sigh. And I asked myself to notice how soft my face feels, my eyes, the ease in my body as I go again all the way around this clock, gliding my skin, feeling the hormones and neurotransmitters that are stimulated by this soft, gentle touch of gliding the skin. This lightness in my face at the quarter circle mark. And then letting it pause and then out. And you can give yourself this gift one more time. And it doesn't have to be in the same place. It could be on a slightly different part, slightly different area. 6 o'clock is below, 12 is above. Wherever way your clock is facing around the clock, that little bit of the smile and that thing that you are thankful for. And then letting it glide down. And when I did this just a few times, already my breath became more naturalized, speaking to my system, reminding my cells of their ability for their perfect function. Oh, Linda, you're muted.
I know I was. I didn't want you to hear Roland in the kitchen. So this is so beautiful. So beautiful. And I'd like to read a couple of comments now about this from the chat. And one Charlotte wrote a while ago, it's been recorded in the UK with government lead research study. That is the long-haul effects of COVID. What is interesting is that many chronic invisible condition survivors are stating the COVID-19 after effects are very similar to autoimmune system conditions. Thus, they need to be treated similarly. The issue is that many of these invisible conditions survivors have been dismissed as hypochondriacs. So hopefully these research studies will also make these chronic invisible conditions credible. And that's what's being brought up on CNN. I've been watching all the commentary on it, is how people are not being taken seriously because the doctors had no opportunity. They were so busy dealing with just keeping people alive that wasn't considered. And there was another really,
I want to say something to that too, is that I had it pretty bad. And I had Linda and I had you, all of you, everyone, where we all are part of one, and the all of one sending back to one, meaning the one person strengthens the one person, strengthens the group, the connecting from everywhere where we are. So when we think of our breathing inside us to be global and spherical, it goes out to the universe, global and spherical, that the universe breathes itself back into us. And when I feel like when we know that, we know then we are not alone and that we can reach out into this, into the universe that brings back. And the no joke, with all seriousness, the using of the tea touches in specific areas or anywhere, the more we do it, the more any one of the touches that we do on ourselves makes a difference globally within us, which is why for me, the heart hug already put that resonance frequency back into my system. And yes, I could take the circle touches and go around my ribs, right? I could go around. But when I gave myself the heart hug, it did it everywhere too. And that is the saving grace of what this work does. And I'll say, the more we do it for ourselves, the more when something comes up for us, we have it and our body receives that information very quickly because it's not new. We get it. It's the, ah, got it. That's what I needed.
And I would like you to just for a moment, go to that place of incredible fear when you couldn't breathe. Because I hear happens with the mask when a person has to wear it a long time and not taking care to get some, you know, fresh air, at least air in the room and not our recycled air that we're breathing, that has got to be addressed. And I'm wondering if any of those of you who are working with this, like Denise with teaching, and those of you who are teaching in the school, what are you advising about that? Because I don't think it's good just to keep that mask there all the time without addressing that. I mean, it's different if you're dealing with the smoke. That's a whole other thing. But
well, I'm so glad.
Wear this all the time.
I am so glad you're bringing it up, because as soon as COVID and them asking us to wear masks came about, immediately in March, I went, uh-oh, right? I have studied enough anatomy, physiology, biochemistry to know we inhale oxygen and we create all these wonderful processes in our body, and then we exhale out byproduct. When we drink liquid, we eliminate byproduct through urine. When we eat food, it turns into things, and we release byproduct through having a bowel movement. When we inhale oxygen, it becomes part of processes. It gets together with stuff, and we exhale out byproduct. And the last thing I want to do is re-inhale byproduct, because as a kid, it was so darn cold in my house. It was like sometimes 32 degrees outside, it'd be 34 degrees in my bedroom. And I had a thin little blanket because that's all we could have. And so I would put the sheet over my head, and it would feel so good until it didn't feel good anymore, because I knew I felt like I was suffocating. So it was because I'm re-inhaling all my carbon dioxide. So came the masks, and as soon as I put it on, and call me a delicate one anyway, so as soon as I put it on, it would be an instant reaction. And I thought, how the heck am I going to get through this, right? It took me a couple of months, and I have an actual physical reaction to it. I have a physical sensitivity to it. It's real. It's like an egg allergy. It's a thing. But go figure, guess what I did? I changed my mind. I changed my thinking. And I have a real physical thing to it. And I said, thank you to the mask for what it can do to keep me safe. And if I'm sick, to get in, keep everyone else safe. And it made a difference to where I could go. I go to the market and I wear it. But then, you know what else I did in the beginning? I would tilt the mask and, right? I could breathe in fresh air. And then I would exhale and I would tilt the mask this way. So I would go through the market and I would tilt it this way. And then... right? So I was never exhaling on anybody. I still followed the rules, but I could breathe in air. And now I don't even have to do it very often. Although yesterday I had to do it.
What I'd like to do here is I'd like to share a couple of things that are in the chat, because, and then I'd like to hear from those of you who are having to wear a mask a lot. How can we deal with this? But Eleanor, if I can just, I'd like to point this out. Paula Joseph Jones wrote, this is from Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen, opening our awareness to our breathing in the cells and the alveoli, the air sacs that I think of as these lung balloons. The air sacs of the lungs engenders a quiet meditative state of being. It is a state of receptivity to what is rather than what we think or wish would be. And the answer somebody put in the chat before, well, Nancy, I remember Nancy. Nancy Red. Suddenly I can't remember your true last name. The idea of just breathing in through your nose and out through your nose, what I find is we're not getting rid of the carbon dioxide and the other bits that we need to get out. So,
but you know what, Linda? When I'm in the market or I'm in a place where I have to be, I refer to the inhale through the nose, exhale through the nose. Because when I exhale through my lips, through my mouth, I am actually exhaling more carbon dioxide, which makes it hard to re-inhale it. So when I'm exhaling out of my nose, it doesn't give me that feeling of re-inhaling so much carbon dioxide. So I can be in the marketplace and do my full shopping without having an issue.
So that's really important.
Yeah. And then when I get in the car, I take it off and I breathe as much as I want and I take care of myself.
Right. Yeah. So thank you. I was just responding to the idea, normally, why are we talking about not with the mask, but in general, why I've been emphasizing for 30 years this concept of breathing out in a specific way to create this back pressure to get rid, to transform the carbon dioxide onto the universe.
Linda.
So can I just finish? I want to finish reading this. Sorry, I didn't finish from Paula.
Yeah.
It is a state of receptivity, this awareness of our breathing. To what is rather than what we think or wish would be. In doing this, we release the frontal lobe of our brain from directing the pattern of our breathing and open the back of our brain to receive our immediate cellular experience without judgment or commentary. Well, I won't go there right now because that brings up a whole other, we won't go on that issue. We'll just stay with where we at the moment. And I'd love to, Eleanor, I'll come back to these other comments, Charlotte, we'll come back to that after the break. I would love to know what some of you, first of all, questions or comments about all of this information that Eleanor is leading us through and the ability to deal. I don't think you still have dealt with the fear that I experienced that you had in the beginning. I don't hear you saying
it came up right on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And it came up as a, oh no, you know, it was that. And there's just the, I can't, and then there was a little bit of the, I can't believe that. Is that what that is? And then there was another, oh no. And then I went, okay, thank you. And went right into self-care. I'm not on heightened alert, but I have an awareness of, gosh, I guess I just am not as perfectly healed as I was thinking I was, if that makes sense. And right. I receive that this talks to me and says, notice this, remember this, because the thing that you kept saying to me over the past few weeks, Eleanor, take care of yourself so this doesn't come back. And I was like, I am, but I've got to run over to my mother. I'm running. And you're like, take care, I am. right? So
it is really important. And so one of the things that they're talking about, that about these long hauler concept, is Charlotte continues about the study in the UK. They don't really know the length of time in the UK. They stayed up to 2 years for some. However, I mean, how do they know? Because, you know, we haven't been that long with it. However, with autoimmune conditions, it is years, depending on the individual and what help they get or not, or the ability to heal oneself. This is the key to our surviving these conditions. And that's what I want to come back to, with the fear that Eleanor felt and being able to use the heart hug or this long hauler feel when we recognize we're not crazy. You know, a person isn't crazy when they feel as they're not, they're not a hypochondriac, it's real. And this is, I think, really important to know this. And Victoria, you worked talking about the lymphatic system. What I'd like you to know is that the circle and a quarter done all over the lymph area actually has been shown to work faster than the normal lymph drainage. And it's much more interesting for the person who was doing it, because when you do the regular, what I've had in Germany, because I just wanted to experience it, you know, over and over and over on the same spot, this lymph thing, 1 1/4 circles. And actually, if you would do the snail's tail back then, in terms of, this is something for us to think about, Glenn, with these injuries that we've got, to get rid of this, for me, in my arm, I did a lot of lymph drainage, specifically to get rid of that, all of that stuff stuck in our bodies after great trauma. And so it's just something to think about. And with fibromyalgia, we've had such success with fibromyalgia with T-Touch that the person can do themselves. It's just really remarkable. And Eleanor, you keep coming back, and it's so invaluable to, when you're in that place of fear, go to the heart hug. Because what we can do is take away the effects of the primitive part of the brain, the sympathetic nervous system, and activate this potential for the parasympathetic, for our heart coherence. And that, just the 1 1/4 circles, supports our body in the most potential for healing.
And you know, Linda, I think that when we do this as a practice, weaving it through our day, and if we feel a moment like I did earlier in the week, that we have these things that speak to it right away. And therefore, I truly don't think I will get an autoimmune issue. I think the autoimmune issue is a chronic issue. And it's something, because the surface things weren't being listened to, the little things. It's because, like somebody wrote that she has a friend, but the friend goes to the doctor, but the doctor doesn't hear her. And so when our body is heard, when our body feels the experience and the listening, the deep listening, sometimes it doesn't end up having to scream later.
Exactly.
On.
Exactly. And I'd like to share just a few people who are having these experiences with the masks. So Glenn writes that here in Botswana, we have to wear masks in public, in shops, offices, banks. I struggle all the time with breathing in a mask. When I get to my car and remove it, I usually feel lightheaded and nauseous. I cannot manage 20 minutes max and have to find a place to remove it and breathing. So maybe what I've been doing after we discussed this, when I go into Costco, when I'm away from other people, not crowded, I can do that breathing, lifting it, breathing in, and then breathing out. And is maybe it's possible, Glenn, if you would do that, that would be useful. And my feeling is that when I take that opportunity to breathe out thin, it's not a casual breathing out. It's like really emptying these little lung balloons that we have and leaving this opportunity then to breathe in fully. We had another, let's see, help here. I didn't have a chance to look at all of these. Oh, yes, Marjean says, I have a wonderful friend still having symptoms for months. And yes, her doctors tell her it's all in her mind. It's sad. Now, this is where I'd like to send out the Ho'oponopono, the forgiveness and the understanding to the doctors who are saying this, because they don't have the information. And instead of us thinking, oh, you know, they're so misinformed, let's all together hold the fact that this concept that there is much more here to be studied and learned. Let's hold that for all doctors who are under so much stress right now, because they can't know everything. Let's hold that they will learn. And so So Paula, you write, I ride in a mask, which I used to find really difficult, but it's gotten easier. I think that my breathing has gotten more toned and easy in a way that I find surprising. And that's what Eleanor, what you said. It's just this, make peace with it. Finding how can we do this? How can we make this possible for us? And stick to the rules and keep ourselves and everybody else safe. So it is a way to change the mind. And Elaine, I know I have only one pod in my ear. I'm making the other, getting it juiced. So any, you know, other...
Can I say something to all of that? Is that when we do that, going back to that breathing, that softness in the belly, that the where our hara, our chi, our energy, our flow is, our potency, when we make that connection, and that breath in the belly, the softness of the belly, connects within the diaphragm that communicates to our lungs and our heart. The heart communicates to the brain. And in the communicating to the brain, it connects us to all, right? Our heart connects us to each other. And when our heart connects us to our brain, it can bring us to our prefrontal cortex, which allows us to think and to make better decisions and to know how to take care of ourselves.
And that's the beauty of having these discussions and having other possibilities to deal with this. And this is, okay, let's see, I just want, there was another, I'm going to just.
And Linda, you wanted to, I don't know if you are interested, if you wanted to do some of the breathing, a couple of breathing techniques of the psst and the ksht with the group.
Well, I'll share it in the next, we're just ready for our break right now. There's one thing before we leave this part that I want to, I'm trying to find it. And it was a question from Glenn. Sandy, if you could find a, it was a, another drawing, because they're just so helpful. Where was that? Valentina, okay, let's unmute and we'll find this question that Glenn had.
There we go. I just wanted to say something about, because you said lymph drainage, that the diaphragm, the whole underside of the diaphragm is covered with lymph nodes. A whole network of lymph nodes. It's like tonsils. And for the abdominal organs other than the abdominal tonsils. And I found a T-touch way to release the whole diaphragm.
Let's see
if this works. You use a curled finger.
Yep.
I forget what we're calling those, whatever fits.
The chimp. It's one of the chimps.
To the edge of the rib cage and curl around and back in. So you're almost, you actually, it helps to do it lying down with your knees up because it gives slack to the abdominal muscles. But if you come around and you're underneath, and you don't have to do it hard, but you're underneath the edge of the rib cage and back onto the bone, that's where the slips of the diaphragm muscle tie down. So you're right at the where the muscle meets the bone. And you can do it all the way around. And you just slide down to the bottom of your rib cage. And when you get to the bottom of your rib cage, that's where you are. You'll know you're in the right place. Just curl around and do your circle and a quarter. Curl around and do your circle and a quarter. You can start just off the midline of the sternum, not right on the sternum, but just off. Start under there, all the way around, and even onto the back. And it really loosens the back at the last rib, at that 12th vertebra.
It's so much better, as you said, lying down. It makes a huge difference. Yeah. Lying down.
It's better lying down because your anti-gravity muscles aren't working.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Ken, thank you so much. Sandy, is it possible during the break that you can find that chart for Glenn? Because I hope the rest of you are finding that ability to travel inside with a T-touch and activating that divine spark in every cell it really helps me to see the images. And so we'll bring it up after. Or did you find it already, Sandy?
I can show you a couple of different ones.
Okay, well, let's just put that there. So before, we're just on our 1 hour break time right now. But
Sandy, I was looking for a diagram of the psoas muscle and where it actually travels from the thoracic vertebra.
Looking.
Okay, well, we'll find it over the break and we'll take our 10-minute break. Thank you. We can put it up so it can be there during the break.
So that's I'm really happy to talk about this. If you want,
we'll talk over our break here.
Okay.
Eleanor, is that a good one?
Yeah. Go back to the other one. Go down lower. No, go down lower. That one. Yes. Now make that larger.
So Eleanor, whilst you're getting the image up, for me, my injury, my back problems are all in the sacrum area and L1 and L2. And I have constant numbness, often pain all down the leg. So when you talk about the psoas muscle, I went eureka. I see a connection between the back and going further down the leg. So I want to see where the muscle was, where I could actually do T-touch on the muscle.
Well, it's not that you do the T-touch directly on the muscle. The place where you'll only touch it. Oh, I can't see myself. Hold on. Let me go.
Eleanor, wait. Let's take our break and then come back and do this for the whole group because some of them may have
taken it.
Because it's very good. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Glenn.
I know why I did that.